Jenny was a bit feverish around the middle of the day. Christina gave her a bath out back in the tub. She loved that. Played with her wooden duck and the carved piglet. Cheered her up. Then I went back to working in the hayloft and Christina put Jenny to bed in her room.
What did Chris do, Dan?
I don't know, Jack. I was hot and sweaty and covered in bits of chaff. Got everywhere. Stuck to my skin, made it itch. In my eyes and nose and mouth.
Michael stopped and looked at the empty glass on the floor. Dean saw the movement and scooted across to pick it up. He left the room and returned with it filled once more to the brim with the cool well water.
Thanks.
Ryan watched Michael closely. Whatever had happened during the afternoon, it had left deep scars in Michael's soul, a soul that was already spiritually challenged by all the experiences of the past few months. The hands holding the glass were trembling, and the deep-set brown eyes skittered all around the room, looking everywhere, but studiously avoiding anyone else's face. He looked thinner, with a strained dark intensity that revealed more of his quarter-crow background.
Go on.
Jack was like a statue, his head and body motionless, his red eyes not moving from Michael's face.
I saw the bath of water still there in the yard. It tormented me. Like our Savior in the wilderness for 40 days and nights when Satan came to tempt him.
But Jesus resisted temptation.
I left the barn and stripped off the shirt, washed the dust and stuff off of me. Christina saw me from the kitchen window, came out with some lemonade. It was real good. She was baking some cherry pies.
They took them as well.
Gave me a pie fresh out of the oven. Burned my fingers, but it was good. Sweet, hot, and good. Feel weary to the bone.
Keep going.
Must rest soon.
You'll be able to go to bed after you finish telling us the story.
Sure, Ryan. It's not truly sleep that I want, just to rest for a while. Did I say the cherry pie burned my fingers? It did. Dipped them in the tub to cool them. I was just walking back toward the barn when I saw...
Saw what?
Dust. Two lots. One was north. A long, long way off. It was Navajo. Oh, I didn't know then that it was them. Saw them later. Yeah, later.
Who else did you see?
Ryan was becoming seriously concerned for Michael's mental well-being. His mind seemed to be somehow slipping sideways, making it difficult for him to focus on things, hard to stick to a coherent chronological account of the facts.
More dust. Closer, lots closer. Could just about hear the engines.
More than one engine?
Sure, JB, there were two of them. Painted like in camouflage colors, sort of small tanks.
Big blasters, like cannon?
No, machine gun.
Tracks or wheels?
They had wheels.
How many?
Three, I think. Or, no, they had four wheels. I mean, each side, big wheels.
Sounds like Lab 25's, Ryan, like we thought.
They each had about a dozen men.
No, go back some, before they arrived. What did you do? What did Christina do?
I'm confused now.
Michael buried his face in his hands. Everyone waited. Jack half rose from his chair, but Ryan waved a warning finger at him, and he sat down again.
Take your time, Michael.
Two clouds of dust. Right. Remember that. Wondered if one of them might be you coming back from a different direction, called out and told Christina.
What did she do? What did she do, Michael?
Came out, wiped her hands on a towel. There was that white mark on her cheek from the morning baking, or it might have been a different one. How could you tell? Nobody to ask. I think it was likely the same one.
It don't fucking matter. Get on with the fucking story.
Sorry, Jack. God, you just can't believe how sorry I am about all this. Sorry for you, most of all. Christina saw the dust. Not sure she saw the distant one, the Navajo. It didn't worry her. She wasn't frightened or anything. If she'd been scared, then it would all... I wouldn't have... But she didn't seem at all worried. Said it was probably Pac-Man or just travelers. Said you got folk moving west every now and again. Said it was like the old settlers.
What did you do after you both saw the columns of dust, Michael? Did Christina tell you to do anything at all? Get blasters or anything like that?
No, Ryan. Nothing like that. It would have been different if... Spilled milk. There was milk spilled in the kitchen. I saw it. Big pool of spilled milk. I didn't cry over it.
She said not to worry. So, what did you do then?
I went back to the barn. I'd had a wash and the lemonade, went back to work in the big barn. I heard trucks coming. Sounded like quite big rigs. Sometimes I saw them going past the highway below Nilvanity when I lived there. I didn't take much notice. That was because of what Christina said to me.
Michael looked for the first time directly into Jack's set face.
If she hadn't said not to worry, then...
Go on, Michael.
They stopped, and the engines cut out. That was the first time I actually looked through the hayloft door, and I saw that something was wrong. There were men with guns.
What kind of blaster?
I don't fucking know, do I, JB? What they call assault rifles, I think, all the same. I counted 18 men and a couple of women, all in uniform.
Uniform? You mean like regular soldiers?
Yeah, they were real well disciplined. Oh, their uniforms were black, or very dark blue, with a red stripe down the pants. Berets, black combat boots. They fanned out immediately in a... What's the word I want?
Defensive perimeter.
That's it. Like everyone knew what they were supposed to be doing. I thought a lot of them looked kind of... Mexican. Mustaches and black hair. I'm sure the general was a Mexican.
The general? You telling me this was done by the general?
Jack, you know something we don't?
Didn't believe in him. Stories. Raids on small villages. Mainly Navajo, Apache, and Hopi. Came in after Pueblos and took food and women. What he wanted. Like soldiers.
Go on, Michael.
Sure, Ryan. Not really much more to tell you. This general got out last. Loads of gold braid, peaked cap, tall, burly man. Looked very much in command. Christina had come out on the porch, and there was some talk. I couldn't hear it. I was too far away. She went in the house with the general and about five of the men. Rest spread out, started a search, and some of them butchered some animals. I heard the noise, but I didn't see it. I was hiding in the hay, didn't see much else.
Ryan could visualize the scene. The disabled woman had been taken by surprise, faced with an armed military gang of renegades. She must have hoped to talk her way clear, but it hadn't been enough.
Michael?
Yeah?
How do you know he was called the general?
Heard his men talking about him when they came in the barn. They weren't bothering to search too hard like they already knew there was nothing to worry about.
You reckon that Christina didn't tell them that you were around the place?
Don't think she did, or they'd have been searching properly. They didn't even come into the hayloft.
So, you had a 38 and could have gone down without being seen?
Sure, Jack. But I didn't have any spare ammo. Just the 6 rounds in the gun. And I'm not a shootist. There were 20 or more of them with rifles and machine guns. I couldn't have done a fucking thing to help them. Can't you see that?
Jack stood, his fists clenched, staring at Michael.
No. Can't see that. See you hiding in hayloft. Christina raped and chilled. Jenny hurled against barn wall, brains every place. I see that.
Let's try and keep calm.
Ryan also stood, placing himself between the two teenagers.
What's happened is over and down the pike. We need to know all we can so we can decide what to do and how best to do it.
Sure. Sure. Any more to tell, Michael?
I hid and waited.
Waited,
Jack,
while.
This isn't the way. You know it and I know it. Michael isn't a born fighter like you and me. Deathlands is a strange and deadly place to him. You know how we all feel for you, for what happened. But taking it out on Michael does nothing to change things.
Yeah, Ryan. You told me Trader said that talk's cheap and action costs.
Right. Michael, let's finish this. You see or hear anything else?
Nothing for a bit. Not a sound from Christina. She must have kept real quiet while... Then they found Jenny. Heard her cry, just the once. That's when I think Christina knifed one of them, maybe two of them. Saw a lot of blood, and I squinted through the gap in the door. Saw the soldiers carrying what looked like a body. Thought one more might have been wounded, but I couldn't see properly.
After that, no clue about where they were going?
They headed south. I saw that. Someone shouted there was horsemen coming. That was the Navajo. I think that the general must have raided an Indian camp and that this was a revenge party hunting them down. A couple of men wanted to stay and fight them. Said they got massive firepower over them, blaster advantage that would have chilled them. But the general came out of the house buttoning up his pants. Ordered them to withdraw.
Did the Indians go into the house at all?
No. I watched the soldiers get back in their wags with their butchered meat. Drove off fast. The horsemen came in past the corral. sort of rode around a couple of minutes, shouting and arguing with one another. Then they just went off fast toward the south after the armored trucks. And I waited, and waited.
Too scared to come see what happened to my wife and baby?
I figured that they were both dead.
Sure. You figured that out and stayed in the hayloft, shit in your pants.
Gaia, damn it, that's enough, Jack. Michael was alone with a 6-shot hand blaster. Nobody on Earth could have saved Christina and little Jenny. Nobody.
No! That's fucking shit, Christy! I could have come down and chilled as many as I could of the bastards!
And then died yourself.
Better! Better than this! Better than sitting back while someone you care for gets murdered! And a helpless baby! Jack's right. What kind of man am I?
In the immense stillness of the New Mexico desert, the moon rose and sailed serenely across the diamond-speckled sky. Ryan woke once, a couple of hours before dawn.
Michael.
Yeah. I can feel his pain and loneliness. He hates himself, you know? For what happened and what he did, and what he didn't do. I pity him, lover.
So do I. But he has to see it through himself. We can help him some, but he has to live with himself.
I knocked on Michael's door, but he didn't answer. I thought it best to just leave him.
All right, Dean. Thanks anyway.
Ryan looked at his son, aware that the young boy was considering saying something.
Yeah, boy?
When we go after the general and his gang, will we have to take Michael with us?
Why?
I don't want to be with him.
Christy was sitting next to Ryan, buttering whole wheat toast.
Because you think he's a coward?
Guess so.
Doc sat across the table, leaning back and rubbing his fingers over the white stubble on his chin.
I should shave before we leave on this chase. If I am to meet my maker, then I would wish to be presentable. So, Dean, you think that Michael failed to show courage?
Yeah, Doc, I do.
It depends on what you mean by courage, son.
I mean not hiding in the straw when a woman and a baby are getting murdered.
I see. But I do not quite see how anyone would have been helped by Michael getting himself murdered as well. And let there be no doubt that he would have been murdered within moments of appearing to these men.
Doc looked across at JB and Jack.
Is that not so, gentlemen?
The armorer nodded, but Jack ignored the question.
Still, a man should try or die trying, Doc.
If we had found all three dead, then there would have been no way at all for us to have learned what had happened, who the killers were, how many, and how they were armed. What were the Indians doing here? So many questions, and no answers to any of them. At least you should credit Michael with providing us with that information, Dean.
Someone should go and wake Michael up. Sleep is probably good for him, but you can have too much of even a good thing. Dean, can you go and try again?
Yeah, all right, Mildred.
Dean walked across the room.
Michael! Michael!
Just go in. No bolt on the door.
Dean was back in a dozen heartbeats.
He's gone!
Nobody had heard the teenager leave the farmhouse, though he'd unlocked and bolted the back door. There were the marks of bare feet outside, fresh in the dew-damp earth, but they merged and blurred with a trampled trail of boots and horses and the wags, vanishing close by the trim vegetable garden.
What do you feel, babe?
Christy closed her eyes.
I don't feel a thing. Nothing. If he's left the spread, he must have made good time and gone a long way off.
They split up to quarter the land around the homestead, hoping to pick up Michael's trail. Dean and Doc stayed closer to home, thoroughly searching the house and then the outbuildings. The young boy was checking the large barn. Doc was walking toward the smaller barn when Dean reemerged.
In here! I found him, Doc.
There, Master Cotter.
Dean ran to fetch the others. By the time they all gathered in the dusty shadows of the barn, Doc had dragged a sawhorse alongside the dangling body and managed to clamber unsteadily onto it, his sword stick drawn.
Perhaps you can steady him while I cut through the rope.
Poor Michael.
Ryan and JB positioned themselves under his feet, ready to take the weight. There was a three-legged stool kicked to one side that Michael must have used to stand on, the rawhide rope thrown over one of the main beams. An end had been knotted to the side of a horse's stall, the other around Michael's throat. His bare feet were less than 3 inches from the chaff-covered floor of the large, echoing barn.
Broke his neck clean.
Looks that way.
Mildred stared up into the dead youth's face.
That seems about right. At least I hope so.
By the three Kennedys, this is like trying to slice through a bar of iron. Can you take his weight? For I fear that I'll never cut the rope.
Ryan and JB did as Doc asked.
Ah, now it's going. Hold him. Now. There we go.
The rope snapped, and the full 140 pounds that had been Michael Brother dropped into JB and Ryan's arms. The head hung limply on the neck, the eyes milky and blank. His mouth was open, showing a tiny smear of blood across the lower lip. The rope had bitten deeply into the teenager's throat, almost invisible in the swollen flesh. Ryan noticed as they lowered the body carefully to the floor that Michael had made an efficient job of speeding his own passing from life. There was a thick double knot, positioned precisely beneath the left ear, designed to force the head to one side and snap the neck in the drop. Dean stood by the heavy double doors of the barn, leaning against the wall of one of the stalls, his face buried in his hands. Doc wobbled and nearly fell as he hopped clumsily off the sawhorse, resheathing his sword stick.
The inscription on the Toledo steel says that the blade should never be sheathed without honor. I do not feel there is a great deal of honor in cutting down the stiffening body of a dear young friend who found that life was too much for him.
Mildred dropped to her knees alongside the corpse, shaking her head sadly.
Why like this, Michael? We could have helped you.
Was it fast?
Her strong doctor's fingers probed at Michael's neck, moving his head gently from side to side.
Can someone lend me a knife to cut the rope away?
Here.
Ryan offered his slender-bladed flensing knife.
Thanks.
Mildred slid the needle point beneath the cord, managing to avoid slicing into the cold, waxen flesh.
The boy certainly knew what he was doing.
Would he have suffered for very long? I had a close friend who once, perforce, witnessed a hanging in some frontier township. I believe it was the sheriff of the place. Could it have been Bannock? I disremember. Though I do recall that he said it was snowing and bitterly cold. But his account of the wretched victims choking and kicking as he slowly strangled to death over 15 minutes or more has always remained with me. I hope it was not so.
Michael couldn't have done it any better if he'd been trained by a state executioner. Probably not so well, in fact. The fall was enough to break his neck, dislocate the vertebrae. There's typical occlusion of the carotid artery and an almost instant cutting off of the blood supply to the brain. The mercy of death would have come quickly for the boy. I would think within at least a handful of seconds.
That fast? That's something to hold on to anyway.
Perhaps at the risk of being pedantic, I should say that clinical death would probably not occur for several seconds longer. But he would have become unconscious the moment he fell. There would really have been no suffering at all.
Sure he not strangled?
I'm sure, Jack. There would have been the typical speckled marks of a hemorrhage here just behind the ears, and there are none. Michael died as he wished, very quickly and free from pain.
Free at last. Free at last. Thank God Almighty, he's free at last.
Remind me, Tanner, to one day kick your ass.
Doc found the letter. There was an old wooden pen with a rusted metal nib propped against a porcelain inkwell on a small bureau beneath the narrow window of the bedroom. The letter, folded twice, lay under it. On the outside was written the words, "For my friends." Doc carried it into the living room, holding it gingerly by one corner.
The young fellow has left us a note. Who wishes to read it first?
Read it out loud, Doc. Best we all hear it at the same time.
Oh, I would rather not.
Please.
Very well, if you insist. Allow me to sit down, then I shall commence. My friends, for I've always thought of you as friends, perhaps the only ones I've ever had. This is to say goodbye to you all. By the time that you find this, I hope that I will have gone far away into the distant land and taken the road less traveled. Then there is a small aside for my benefit, where he comments that I will be surprised to learn he knew any poetry. It's around 3 in the morning, and I haven't slept. I just went into the bedroom and tried to whisper to Christina and little Jenny that I was sorry I had failed them. I think they might have heard me where they are gone. It made me feel a small bit better.
Dean stood.
I don't think I can hear all this. Can you call me when you're finished reading?
No, boy. Part of growing up is not walking away from things you don't like, Dean. The letter's for all of us, you as well. I know this is hard, but Michael would have wanted us all here. Sit down again.
Whatever.
Doc waited until the boy was settled.
There's so many things I could say, but time passes, and I have a date with a rope. My first 19 years were spent in closed order at Nil Vanity, and I thought then that I was happy. But I know now that I wasn't. Happiness is trying new things, new foods, new places. The day you give up on that is the day they measure you for the long wooden box. Then I was trawled here into Deathlands, a place of horrors, violence, and brutality, and something's crossed out there. I can't read it.
Doc fumbled for his swallow's eye kerchief.
Sorry. But I also found values that I'd never dreamed of. Courage, humor, and loyalty. So many, many things. Someone somewhere once said that the definition of courage was grace under pressure. Didn't they? Mildred, you told me that, I think.
Ernest Hemingway, Michael. Him, of all people.
Don't aim to bore you, so Dean can relax. The last weeks seem to have been more and more difficult for me. Dark shadows at my shoulder, and like a trap with no way out of it. The business with Dorothy was hard. He underlined that last word. I've felt like a man trying to run through quicksand. The harder you try, the quicker you sink. Then, what happened yesterday? Well, that was about the end of the line for me. Time to take what J.B. calls the last train to the coast, I guess. It wasn't that I didn't want to go and try and help Christina. I can't properly explain. Still blurred in my mind. I swear that it wasn't that I was scared. Not scared of dying. Truthfully, I wasn't. I just couldn't move. Couldn't.
That's a classic symptom of a serious psychosis. Clinical depression. It disrupts the way you act and think.
The last bit of all is like a brief message to each of us. Shall I read them out as well?
Sure, Doc. Go ahead.
Ryan settled himself in the deep armchair and looked out through the open door across the vastness of the New Mexico desert.
First to Dean. You were the nearest I ever had to a true companion, Dean. Forgive me for being such a shithead the last few days. Try and remember the old, Michael. That would be the hot pipe way.
The boy stood and walked slowly out into the early morning sunshine. Ryan did nothing to stop him.
You next, John Barrymore. I know how you value the skills of combat, J.B., and I feel I let you down badly. But you said that failure brought its own price. By the time you read this, I'll have paid that price. Keep your blasters oiled.
Yeah.
J.B. glanced sideways at Mildred, who gripped his hand.
I am reminded of something that Rudyard Kipling once wrote. He said that each man must pay the price to live with himself on his own terms. Well, I'm sure he put it better than that. But it seems to me that poor Michael has chosen to do precisely that.
Go on, Doc. Time's passing. And there's 3 graves need digging.
Of course. Dr. Wyeth, you are the next that the lad addresses. You and me, Mildred, had something in common. We never thought to finish up in Deathlands. Without your wisdom and your help, I would never have made it as far as first base. Thanks, and goodbye.
Goodbye, Michael.
Christy?
Go on, Doc.
I wish I'd been able to have the time to sit down and talk more, Christy, about your seeing and all that. I guess that there's plenty more regrets if I thought about it. Sorry if I let you down as well.
No, Michael, you didn't let me down. You didn't let anyone down at all.
The next line is for me.
Let's hear it, Doc.
Very well, Dr. Wyeth, very well. Had some laughs, didn't we, Doc? First off, I thought you were a stoop old fart. Now that it's all too late, I know better. You are a wise old fart. Sorry. Here we go. Don't ever change, Doc. And every now and then, think about your young friend from the past. What was that line you once said about forgetting and smiling? I once reminded him of that small jewel of verse. Better by far you should forget and smile than that you should remember and be sad. Poor, poor boy.
Anything to say to me?
Yes. Ryan is the last one in the letter. But you are next to last, Jack. I never knew you properly, Jack. But Ryan and the rest kept mentioning you. I know how much they all admired you and the way you've handled yourself. Certainly, I liked you a lot, and I guess I can say that I actually loved Christina and the baby. I know that you'll go to your grave blaming me for it. Well, I'm off to mine in a couple of minutes, and I swear that I'll die with their faces in my mind's eye. I am so sorry, Jack. If I could think that one day you might find it in your heart to forgive me, well, it'll make eternity easier to handle.
Ryan reached out and took the crumpled note from his fingers. Jack stood and walked to the door, following Dean.
Didn't want this to happen. Of course I forgive him. But that's too late.
Ryan looked down at the neat, angular handwriting.
I have the feeling that you'll read this yourself, Ryan. I never met a man I respected more than you. You taught me a load of things, and you saved my life again and again. But one thing I learned was that I wasn't a winner like you, and like the traitor you talk about. Fact is, I reckon I'm a bit of a loser. And losers come second, don't they? Especially in the dark hole of Deathlands. Yesterday I stood by and hid while the Black Hats slaughtered 2 good people. I couldn't help that. I really couldn't. Said that before in this letter, haven't I? But tomorrow I might do the same thing, and be the cause of you, Christy, Dean, and the others getting to buy the farm. I know how you all rely on one another to the point of death. Well, you couldn't rely on me in the same way, Ryan. Now, it'll never be a problem.
Is that all, lover?
No. Nearly done.
Rather than sorrow or pity, Ryan was feeling only a helpless anger. The deaths of Jack's wife and daughter had been unavoidable, and nobody thought Michael could have done anything, except get himself killed. Now the boy had taken his own life, dying alone and miserable, because of his own false sense of failure. It was such a waste. Christy reached across and slowly took the note from Ryan's fingers.
It seems a pity, but I don't think that I can write anymore.
Truth is, I'm crying while I try to finish. But you mustn't cry for me, any of you. I think that this is probably one of the best things I ever did. And it'll take me, I believe, to a far, far better place than I've ever known. So long, all of you. And try to be real careful out there. Your friend from the past, Michael Brother.